much enjoyed week off, and we had all these great plans for a what we call a staycation. You know what a staycation is? It's where you don't really go anyplace, but you don't work. And my parents were out, and we thought we'd have a great time, just family time together, and then we all got the stomach flu. And I just, you know, had some college flashbacks. You know, I remember one of the colleges I was at, and stomach flu would go around, and someone's just like, "Oh, praying to the porcelain god, I see." Well, you know, that god never wants 10%. You always give it your all, and I'm like, "Oh, that's just too much." But yeah, it's true. But praise God, because, you know, I know that he has a sense of humor. And I know that because a couple of days before, I'm like, "Oh, you know, Lord, I'm starting to get a little bit chubby again. Could you help me lose some weight?" And all of a sudden, so with that, I know he's got a sense of humor, but I'll say this, it's good to be back. And we do have one more announcement that, you know, we were going to hold on to this one for a while, but my wife let it spill on Facebook, and so we'll just go with it. But we are expecting, and November 20th is our due date. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. So God's Word says be fruitful and multiply, and I kept on telling her. She goes, I want another kid. She's like, "Oh, I don't." And really, for her, it's not having the children, but her pregnancies are always so hard. You know, most women have morning sickness for, some are blessed with just a couple of days to a couple of months, but she has morning sickness the entire duration of her pregnancy. And so, hey, praise God, you know, because she's been wanting to lose weight too, so she'll lose about 30 pounds through the process. But with that, you know, she let the cat out of the bag on Facebook, so I figured, since not everybody here is connected to social media, that we'll just announce that. So keep us in prayer. And of course, yay! And so with that, Jerona has already put in her request that she wants a sister because she already has a little brother. "Daddy, I've already got a little brother. It's time for a little sister." So anyhow, we'll see what God does. Amen? And God already knows, but since my wife is violently ill, that means that the baby is doing just fine. And so we are blessed with that. So that is where Crystal's going to be at. So just, you know, praise God. I miss her up here singing. I miss her up here doing the PowerPoint because she is definitely the vocal talent of the family. But you know what? That's okay because that allows other people to come and serve and be blessed. Amen? And that's what it's all about, right? And I was getting ready to go off on a tangent, but I'm not going to. I think we're going to talk about the Word of God. Amen. So, you know, I think of a famous quote from literature, and I kind of took it and changed it around. And you guys might know what I'm talking to, but are talking about. But the quote that I have changed and made it appropriate for this week's passage of Scripture: "To sin or not to sin? That is the question." And really, to sin or not to sin? Isn't that a question? That's what you know, we need to be asking ourselves. And with that, you know, there was a problem that the Apostle Paul was, you know, Rabbi Shaul was dealing with, you know, in his time. And we're dealing with the same thing here. To sin or not to sin? That is the question. And here, you know, Paul lets us, you know, let us know about a trap here in Romans 6, verse 1. It says, "What should we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Of course not." Or your translation might say, "May it never be." You know, we shouldn't be doing that. And he goes on to say, "How can he who died as far as sin is concerned go on living in it?" And here, the trap here, and Paul uses, you know, in rabbinics, what's called a libertine argument here to respond to the lie of the enemy. And here is the lie. It's the lie of cheap grace. The lie of cheap grace. And this lie is, once a person is saved, they can live like they please in order to give more glory to God because, you know, with giving more glory to God because they're receiving more grace, and they're receiving as much grace as possible because they maintain a lifestyle of sin, disobedience, and ultimate death. So we had, you know, Paul had the problem. We've got the same problem here. And I'm so sick and tired of people. It's like, oh, well, Rabbi, you know, don't judge me. We're saved by grace, so I can do whatever the I want. Yeah. It's like, oh, no. Because you know what? That doesn't line up with the abundant life that God promises in Scripture. John 10:10 says, the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But why did Yeshua come? He came so that we could have an abundant life, right? And so we have to remember the point. All our deeds, all our words, and all our actions, they have consequences. Good, godly choices leads to a life of blessing, while bad, worldly choices lead to curses. And you know, and it's interesting, throughout my ministry career, I've had a lot of people come to me and say, well, Rabbi, I've been praying, God just doesn't answer my prayers. Okay, well, let's run that through the filter of Scripture. Isaiah 59:2 says, your sins are such that God won't hear your prayers. What are you doing wrong? Be honest. Don't confess to me. This is not a confessional. Confess it to God. And if, you know, there's nothing there, you find nothing there, and after fasting and prayer, the Holy Spirit reveals nothing to you, then you need to say, okay, what's going on here? I know. It's not a sin issue. I'm going to consider it all joy when I encounter various trials. And I know that in God's time, He's going to answer those prayers. And as a servant, does a servant tell the master what to do? No. We stand and wait. Is it easy? Yeah, sure, it's easy. No, I'm just totally kidding here. My sarcasm's coming through this morning. No, it's not easy. It's difficult. And you know, we look through Scripture and it's kind of sad. I mean, I think about how our mindset gets. We look through Scripture and, like, for example, somebody starts reading in the book of Genesis and they read about the life of Abraham and they read about all this cool stuff that happened to Abraham. Or we read in Exodus about all the different miracles and all the plagues and all this stuff, and then, you know, and then the Egyptians, you know, were taken out, the Jews were delivered, they crossed the Red Sea, you know, next chapter later, manna from heaven, quail, you know, next chapter, the Word of God, you know. And it's like, wow, you know, within 3 hours of time, we see tons of miracles take place, and that's the way God works. It's not. And I'll use Abraham as an example. How long did he pray for a child? Yeah, he was 99 years old. That's a long time, right? And yet, he had been, you know, we see the Scripture that he was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was 86. When God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, the hey that was added is the addition of the Holy Spirit. And so it wasn't like God was doing miracles every day in Abraham's life. But there was years between a lot of these miracles. We need to remember that. That in our lives, it could be quite some time between when God is going to do something miraculous. It's not going to be on a daily basis that, you know, the windows of heaven open up and the lightning bolts come down and all our enemies are destroyed. And, you know, it's just like, oh, you know, it doesn't work that way. There's always some time. But I do know this. It's interesting, I was talking to a friend about this last night. That God wants to do miracles for us. He wants what's best for us. And a lot of times what's best for us is to wait, right? So we need to remember that when it comes to these things. So we went off on a little side note there. But, you know, we'll come back to it. All our deeds, words, and actions have consequences. And we need to remember that from Scripture. You know, in the rabbinical writing, in Sefre Did Vetecharan 32, which, yeah, whatever. How many of you will be quoting that one a little bit later? I'm not even going to quote that one later on. But, you know, in regards to Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, when the Scripture says, you shall love the Lord your God, it says we are to act out of love towards God in everything that we do. That's the proof that we're not taking advantage of the grace of God. We're loving Him in everything. And with all our heart means that, you know, we know that our heart can be divided regarding the things of Him. And so we need to move that division over so the heart is completely God's, instead of having a division within our heart. You know, Rabbi Judah the Prince says, do His will as though it were your will, so that He may do your will as though it were His will. Undo your will for the sake of His will, so that He may undo the will of others for the sake of your will. Yeah, that's pretty deep. But really what this is talking about is that, we need to be living a lifestyle. We're saying, hey, you know what, I'm not going to have a divided heart and what's that old thing, they live like heaven on Sabbath, but they live like hell for the rest of the week. That's a sign of a divided heart. And so with that, the Apostle Paul here is saying, hey, we got to have a lifestyle. And that those who receive the gift of forgiveness from sin, our lifestyle should be to make a conscious choice to anger our sin nature daily. We need to make a conscious choice. That's why, I think of that passage. It says, work out your salvation daily with fear and trembling. And I think I might talk about it later in my notes. I don't remember. But that's not saying that you got to get saved every day. What that's saying is, hey, my feet are hitting the ground and I'm making a conscious choice not to have a divided heart. I'm making a conscious choice to be full throttle for the Lord today. And everything else? Pfft. Now, full throttle for the Lord doesn't mean, well, that means we just need to have services every day of the week. No, full throttle for the Lord means that you're out there, you're living the lifestyle that God wants you to live so that others can come into the kingdom of God, right? And when they see that divided heart, I mean, what are the things that make people want what we want? Is it when we're out sinning? When we're out doing the things that we shouldn't be doing? No. It's when we're out letting our light shine by letting them see our good deeds. Well, what are our good deeds? Loving people the way that God loves people. Loving God the way that we should be loving God. That's it. That is it. And so, that's the lifestyle that we need to have. And the Apostle Paul continues, he says, or don't you know that all of us were baptized into union with Messiah Yeshua? We're baptized into His death? Now that term baptizo, which is, that's where we get the word baptism from. It means to immerse completely. Full immersion. And a little background, this term was used in the garment industry of the day. When you had a garment and you were going to change the color of it, you'd have your dye that was mixed up and they had dye makers that, make the different things. But you had to fully immerse the garment completely into the dye mixture for it to be changed. And what a great lesson here. Not only does this a proof text, little side note, this is proof text that baptism is by full immersion, not by sprinkling, which some groups do. But really, the lesson here is that when we are baptized in the faith of the Messiah, we are to be completely immersed in the things of Him and under the complete change that He wants for us. So with that, when we're completely immersed in the things of Him, our lives will be completely changed. Our lives will be completely changed. And when we join with the Messiah and we're immersed in His death because of sin, think about that. We're immersed in His death because of sin. We've died to sin. We need to actively put to death our sin nature. But Rabbi, you don't understand. It's hard not to sin. Well, what does God's Word say? I think it's in Corinthians. It says that there's no temptation that He will allow us to go through, right? So what Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians 5, maybe 2 Corinthians, I don't know, it's somewhere in there. It's in the Corinthians, I know that. So start in chapter 1, book 1, chapter 1, and in book 2, you'll find it. But it says that He won't give us more temptation-wise than we can't handle without His help. He won't allow it to happen. And so with that, when we're fully immersed, we can see the temptation coming. We're fully immersed. That means that we put on our armor. We're fully immersed. We've got our sword sharpened. We're fully immersed. It means we've allowed God to use His Word to do surgery to cut out the junk and circumcise our hearts, right? And when we're fully immersed, we know what His marching orders are. And His marching orders aren't to, hey, let's go sin. The marching orders are like, oh, hey, let's go out there and let's do the things that he wants us to do. Amen? Yeah, and with that, not only should we actively put to death our sin nature by bearing it, but then we need to rise to life. And in this rising to life, we can live sin free. And God, this is how God wants us to live. Why? Because God gets tired of putting down lightning bolts and putting His wrath upon His children? No, God doesn't put His wrath upon His children. That's not why. God wants us to live a sin-free life so that He can bless us to the fullest. And really, what do I want to see? I want to see every brother and sister blessed. For two reasons. One, I love my brothers and sisters. I want to see you blessed. And two, so everyone around us who is lost sees us being blessed and they want to know, hey, why are you so blessed? And we can say, because of God. And let me tell you the good news about Him. You can be blessed too. Amen? And we can be blessed with eternal life. Yay! You know, that's a win-win as far as I'm concerned. And we're seeing it. We're starting to see stuff happen. And with that, you know, let's press on in that immersion of God, that baptizo, and press forward in the things. And remember that baptism is, it's representative of our death to sin, our burial of the sin, and our resurrection with Yeshua. And so we need to live in that resurrection. Moving on in chapter 6 of Romans, it says, therefore, through baptism we were buried with Him into His death, so that just as Messiah was raised from the dead by the Father's glory, we too may live an entirely new life. For if we have become united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old selves were crucified with Him so that our sinful bodies might be rendered powerless and we might no longer be slaves to sin. For the person who has died has been freed from sin. So, united. I noticed that united word just popped out at me a couple of times here. And, you know, I thought about that, and I remember in my days of matriculation, how many of you had to take, like, geometry class, and you had, like, theorems and proofs? Yeah, Mel's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, and I remember something called, you know, transitive properties, and how, you know, if something equals something, that also, you know, if A equals B and B equals C, therefore A equals C, and, you know, all this really heady, just math. Yeah, exactly. And with that, I started thinking about that kind of like a math equation. Being united with sin is the same as being united in death. That's the union there. But being united with Yeshua, that means we're disassociated with sin, right? Means that we're going to be united in the resurrection. So it's kind of like an if-then statement. If you are united in sin, therefore, you are united with death. But if you are united with Yeshua, therefore you're united with the resurrection. And I don't know about you, but I like to be united with life. Amen? Amen. Life, exactly. And this thing, crucified with Him, the results of putting to death our sin nature is to remove all the power and authority from sin so that we can have freedom. You know, and really, you know, freedom, what's the cost of being free? Well, He already paid the cost of being free. He paid so that we could be free. By His stripes we were healed, right? There is, you know, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, right? He shed His blood. We are free in that. And so, with that, we need to, you know, put to death that sin nature. And then, we're no longer slaves to sin. And if we're no longer slaves to sin, when sin comes knocking on the door and says, hey, you know, let's go out and have a good time, we can say, no, I don't have to, because that's been put to death. Yeshua died for that. Don't go away, man. Just go away, you know? Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Whatever it takes. We flee from temptation, right? Because it doesn't have power over us as believers. And you know what? And believers are instructed to give up the old ways. We are. And so I see some believers, it's just like, oh, yeah, I got my fire insurance, but you know what? I'm still going to go out and live how I want to. No. Why are you letting that stuff control you? You're free in the Messiah. You have the freedom not to listen to sin anymore. And I would encourage you to do that. Now continuing on here, it says, now if we had died with Messiah, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that the Messiah who was raised from the dead will never die again. Let me read that again. For we know that the Messiah who was raised from the dead will never die again. He did it all once and for all. Amen? Yeah. So death no longer has mastery over Him. For when He died once and for all as far as sin is concerned. So the lesson here is because sin and its effects, which are death, are no longer a worry for those who believe in Yeshua. Death and sin no longer have a claim over a believer. Isn't that nice to know? Does that not give you hope? So with that, we have life. And we need to choose life in every situation. You know, it's interesting. I was, Rabbi Lewis is going to be surprised by this. I was watching a hockey game the other night. Yeah, surprise, surprise. And there was a guy who was interviewing one of the players. And what he said to him, you know, he was talking about, you know, how the team was doing this, that, and the other. And he said to him, "So what areas are you working on? Or what areas are you? No, what areas are you working on improving?" Which, what a great way to say that, because he was speaking life. Because he wasn't saying, "Hey, you guys suck in this area, are you guys practicing?" No, he chose to speak life. "Hey, what are you guys working on improving?" And you know, "Well, you know, coach, we give 110%. No, he didn't. Hockey players don't give 110%. You know, they just give 100% because most of them went to college and can do math. But, you know, with that, it's just like, "Oh, you know, we're working on this and we're practicing this and we're getting this better." And I thought, wow, he chose to speak life. And we can choose to speak life too. Because there's certain ways that we can ask questions, right? And in the way that we ask questions, we can either speak life or we can speak death. Now, this doesn't mean if something is negative, we should completely ignore it and walk away. You know, but we need to look at it from an advantage of how can we speak life. You know, with my daughter, and for those of us who are raising little ones, Tim knows. Tim, I'm sure will be able to relate to this. Our kids make choices, and choices have consequences. So, how do we as parents, and that's the question we got to figure this out, how do we as parents encourage our children to make choices for life? And how do we speak things out of our mouth to say, "Hey, you know what? You know, there's a choice. Either daddy's really angry, rah, 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 or you know what, that was a bad choice. Go sit on the stairs and we'll think about this for a moment. And if we need a pants party, we have a pants party and we go from there." With that, in the way that we speak to our children, we can speak life. In the way that we speak to each other, we can speak life. We have power. We have power by the words we speak. Did you know that? Proverbs 18 says, "The power of life and death is in the tongue." I think it's verse 21 or 26 for those playing along at home. Yeah, the power of life and death is in the tongue. So, you know, when my daughter says something like, "Daddy, I can't." Well, you know what? You've already spoke the words that you will not be able to do that. Let's try something different like, "Daddy, I'm frustrated, but I'm going to keep trying." Because that's what it takes, right? And of course, when she does it, she always throws her hands up. She goes, "I did it!" Yeah, and so, but with that, you know, when we say to our Father, "Daddy, I can't." That's words of death, right? But what does the Scripture say? "I can do all things through the Messiah who gives me strength." all things. And I was talking with a good friend of mine last night, and we rarely get to see each other, even though he only lives like 2 miles away. And I keep on trying to rope him in. Hey, I got a bass. You can come play bass with the praise team. Hey, you know, trying to zing him in with his wife and kids. And but he was talking last night about how, you know, a lot of times people as believers don't act because they think they're unworthy to act. Well, guess what? We're all unworthy to act. But God's word says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, I'm unworthy to pray. No, are you righteous or are you not righteous? And remember, we're not righteous by what we do, right? All our righteous deeds are an unclean thing. There is filthy, naughty, yucky stuff, according to the scripture. Yeah. But who makes us righteous? Yeshua Jesus, right? Our faith is credited to us as righteousness. So whose righteousness is it? It's His righteousness that covers us. So therefore, we need to not start thinking about, oh, I'm so unworthy to serve God. No, we need to just suck it up and, you know, if we've made mistakes, it's done, it's over with if you confessed it. But we have the righteousness of Jesus, which means that we can go out and we can speak these things as if they are. And there's this huge movement I'm finding out that's going on, and it's been going on for a couple of years up in Northern California. There's this, you know, this church up there, this house of worship that just says, hey, you know what? We're going to start praying for each other. We're going to start praying for healing because God's word says that all authority has been given to us. We can do all things to the Messiah who gives us strength. And we are commanded to go out and raise the dead and heal the sick. Right? Aren't we in the restoration business? To raise the dead. How do we raise the dead? Is that a physical raising? Could be. But even beyond that, aren't there words of life that we can speak to people who are dead in their sins, who are dead in their trespasses? We can go out and say, hey, you know what? I have a word of life for you. What's that name? Yeshua. What does that mean? Salvation. God can rescue you. He sent Yeshua. He sent Jesus. He can rescue you. You're dead. Come on. Come to life. Come to life. Let me tell you about Him. Let me show you in the scripture where it says that we can have eternal life. Heal those that are sick. Is that a physical healing? Yeah, sometimes. I'm praying for some more physical healings to take place because I'm praying that people who aren't saved come in contact with people who are believers who just says, hey, you know what? I'm going to pray over you right here, right now as proof that my God is the true and living God. Let me pray for a healing for you right now. And stuff like this is happening. People are getting healed from like cancers and sicknesses and illnesses, and people are getting saved and people are coming to the Lord. And I'm sitting here asking myself, going, why aren't we doing this? And that's a good question. Why aren't we doing this? Because we're not making the choice to speak life, right? Yeah. And you know what? Having a great service doesn't mean that, you know, we're up here on Sabbath and, ooh, the rabbi's got a good message. Now it's my turn to give a good message. And then, you know, this person's turn to give a good message. Having a good service to the Lord means you're out there wherever that God has called you to be influencing a lost world for Him. So guess what? You can have a service on Tuesday at work. Are you working Tuesday?
Yeah.
Have a service at work.
It was just last Tuesday.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. So let's just keep on doing that. Because think about it. This is something that hit me this week. You know, how many of you guys remember years ago they talked about the 6 degrees of separation? And if you kind of look at it, you can... You know, Chris and I have played this game because, you know, we know some people in certain industries that know a lot of people. And with that, you know, we'll see somebody on TV. It's just like, oh, well, hey, we're 2 degrees from that person. Or, you know, some musician. It's just like, oh, you know, in some cases, there's one band. It's just like, oh, we know that guy, you know. Oh, there's another musician. We know that guy. You know, oh, we've jammed with that guy. We've played with that guy. And so, but you know what? If we can influence that 1 degree of separation away from us, to give up the sin and to give their life to the Lord. And then they, in turn, can influence 1 degree of separation away from them to do the same. Who can, in turn, influence 1 degree of separation away from them? When we get to 6 degrees away, the whole world's saved. So what's stopping us? What do you think is stopping us? Kind of rhetorically, but let's think about it. Maybe our fears, maybe our doubts. I'm not worthy, or I don't know enough. Well, if you have a relationship with Jesus, which means you got a testimony, you definitely know enough. You know? Think of that song, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. We can, fuse that together with John 3:16, and that's a done deal, right? Here's my testimony. Boom. Here's a testimony of what God did because He loves me. And guess what? God loves you the same. So let me share the good news with you. Amen? Amen. So we have a choice. We have a choice, and we are to choose life in every situation. Philippians 1, verses 21 through 28. Let me just read this to you. It says, "For to me to go on living is Messiah, and to die is gain. Now if I go on living in this body, that will produce more results, yet I do not know which I would prefer. Indeed, I cannot decide between the two. I have the desire to leave this life and be with Messiah, for that is far better." Yeah, he's right there. "But for your sake, it is better that I remain in this body. Since I'm convinced of this, I know that I will continue to live and be with all of you for the sake of your progress and joy in the faith. Then your boasting in Messiah Yeshua will increase along with mine through my coming again to you. The only thing that matters is that you continue to live as good citizens in a manner worthy of the gospel of Messiah. Then, whether I come to see you or whether I stay away, I may hear all about you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, struggling with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and that you are not intimidated by your opponents in any way. This is evidence that they will be destroyed and that you will be saved, and all because of God." We can live as Messiah, or if we die, we get to be with Him. But look at this gain that the Apostle Paul is talking about. Because, and I think about it. When I think about heaven, I have a pretty good idea that it's going to be a lot better than this place. I mean, come on, if they use gold for concrete and pavement, at least it's going to be pretty, right? Yeah. And there's some speculation, and I'm pretty sure I've got it pegged, but I think that when Paul was stoned and they considered him dead, I think he actually died. But God brought him back to life. So he had a vision of what heaven was really like because he was there. Yeah. And he wanted to go back. I mean, that kind of gave him a boldness, you know? "Paul, quit teaching this stuff or we're going to kill you. I had to die as gain. Bring it. You know, I've been there." All right, another ticket going back. Woo! You know, but no, he's like, to live is Christ, to die is the gain. And to live, it's for the benefit of others, so that they too can have life. So for us to live is for the benefit of others, so that they too can have life. You know, when I think about that, as God was working out His wonderful plan of salvation, could He have just said, "Hey, you know what? As soon as somebody gets saved, boom, that's it, it's over, they come straight to heaven, you know, that's it." He could have worked it that way, He's God, right? He could have. But He left us here. And so I stopped to think about these things, and I had a mentor share this with me one time, and he goes, "Think about it, Jim. What are two things that you can do, or that you can do here on earth, that you as a believer are not going to be able to do in heaven? What are those two things?" And I stopped. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, that makes sense. One is, I'm not going to be able to share the good news with somebody who hasn't heard it yet, because everyone who's in heaven knows the good news." Yeah. "What's the other thing?" "Well, I won't be sinning anymore." Okay. So in God's plan for you to become one of His children, and in His plan of salvation, why did He leave you here on earth? only one of two reasons. It's those two things that you can't do in heaven. Did he leave you here so you can continue sinning? Did you leave you here so you can continue to speak death? Did he leave you here to, you know, party till you die? No. He left you here so you can tell others. He left you here so you can encourage others. And that's really, you know, what the point is. Is that if we have another day of life, that we are to live in a manner worthy of the good news. So that we can share the good news. And so that others can come to that salvation. Can come to that saving knowledge of Yeshua Jesus. And you know what? And if we don't have another day here on earth, praise God, we're done. But I pray for the world's sake that your mindset is the same as the Apostle Paul. I got to stay here because I want to influence more people for the good news. I want to stay here, Lord, as long as possible. You know, some people are like, oh, I don't want to live a long life because you know what? You get bored after you retire and all of that. What happens if I'm an invalid in my golden years? Well, you know what? I saw that happen to my grandmother. She had a stroke. She couldn't talk. She couldn't move half of her body, and she laid in bed for 3 years before she passed away. And my family being the way that my family is, it's like, oh, we refused to put her in a home. But she needed medical, you know what? Yeah, she needed medical treatment, but guess what? My mom figured out how to do all that, and we had nurses come in and all of that because she had a better quality of life living in our house, and she was just thrown into a home. Can you imagine that? 3 years. And I remember every morning, because her room was right next to mine, my mom would knock on her door and go in and say, Mom, are you awake? And my grandmother would go, mm-hmm. Because that's all she could say was, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Mom, are you ready for breakfast? Mm-mm. Mom, are you still praying? Mm-hmm. Because even though she couldn't speak the words, she could pray for people, and she would pray for hours and hours in that bed. Because here was me next door. Pagan Jim. And I know that my grandmother was praying for me. Yeah, she was praying for me. And of course, I didn't want to hear any of that stuff, so, you know, let's put on the sin suit, let's go away, let's go to the party, let's, you know, go play some rock and roll, let's go have a good time, let's go have an adventure, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I just want to ignore all that stuff. But guess what? Even though that she was in bed for several years, she was praying for me, she was praying for my sister, she was praying, you know, and her mind wasn't gone. But she was, I'm sure, praying for missionaries and pastors and, you know, stuff that, you know, she was aware of and going on. Praying for all of that. And what a benefit for the kingdom of God, right? You know, and I can't wait to the day when, you know, she gets to meet some of the people that I've had a chance to influence. Some of the people that I have a chance to, I've had a chance to minister to and have had a chance and will have a chance to minister to. You know, how cool is it going to be when, you know, somebody shows up and, you know, here's some kid that I met in a youth group years back and she walks up to my grandma and says, thank you. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. Well, what do you mean? Well, if you weren't praying for your grandson, I never would have heard the good news. And not hearing the good news, I wouldn't have been influenced to get into the kingdom of God. So thank you. Imagine that. That's kind of cool when you think about that ripple effect. So beyond our choice to speak life, it not only affects the one degree of separation that we have, but it can affect generations and generations to come. So let's live as Messiah. Amen? Amen. Let's read our challenge verse. It's that last verse of, I think it's verse 11 here of chapter 6. It says, but now that he is alive, He lives for God. In the same way, you too must continually consider yourselves dead as far as sin is concerned, but alive to God in Messiah Yeshua. So here's the question. Are you dead or are you alive? You know, it's not like the wanted posters from, you know, like the cowboy days. Wanted dead or alive. God wants us alive. Wanted alive. No question about it, right? He wants us dead too. Dead to sin. So we're wanted dead and alive. Not dead or alive. Dead and alive. He wants us dead to sin and alive in Him. Damn. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13 says, "And so, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only when I was with you, but even more now that I'm absent, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is producing in you both a desire and the ability to do what pleases Him." So, here's the point. If you desire to do the good that comes from God, and He... Think about it. He will give you the means and motivation to be completely obedient to Him. Think about that. God produces both the desire and ability to do what's pleasing to Him. So when you feel like, hey, I need to do something spiritual today, I need to do something for God today, that desire comes from Him. Okay, God, I want to see Your kingdom affected today like You want. Guess what? He equips us to do it. What's stopping us? What's stopping us? It's us, isn't it? So let's choose not to be stopped anymore. Because the things that are stopping us from doing the things of God, that's ungodly. And when we choose to do the godly things, that's when we are blessed. And you guys know me. I want to see blessings. I want to hear radical stories about, you know, God did some amazing thing. And it may seem quirky to the world, but you just look at it and go, wow. Oh, there was the hand of God. There was the hand of God. And it wasn't like doing this, you know, part the Red Sea or, you know, part the 91 freeway during rush hour or, you know. How many of you would like to see that miracle? Yeah, commuters. You know. But you know what? We can see miracles every day in the sense that we can see people's lives transformed by us choosing to live the godly lifestyle that He wants us to live. And let's not take advantage of the grace of God. Let's not cheapen the grace of God by saying, hey, you know, God forgives me, moving on. But let's press on, go forward, and choose to not only speak life, but let's choose to live out the life that God wants us to live. Amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment.